Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip said. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He is led like a sheep to the slaughter. He was led like sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azos and traveled about, preaching the gospel in the towns where until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Kids can go to Children's Church with Miss Marcy. Oops. As I've mentioned before, no, I do not call her Miss Marcy at home. That's just what the kids call her. So, you know, we don't have that formal of a relationship. It is very formal. Involved a ceremony and everything. It was wonderful. But let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the work you're doing in us, in our hearts, in our lives. The work that you're doing all around us that we just receive, that we witness. We don't really even have a part in, but somehow we receive the grace of being able to experience it. Lord, help us to step intentionally into your will and step intentionally into what you would have for us. Continue to shape our hearts and minds and lives that we might become more Christ-like, that we might truly become a blessing to the world and to all those we encounter. And as we come to your word together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Well, before I get into the sermon itself this morning, I just last night came back from the Great Lakes Conference annual celebration. If you have no idea what that is, let me just give you the short version of that. Great Lakes Conference is a regional conference of the denomination which we're a part of, the Evangelical Covenant Church. And every year we gather for an annual meeting to conduct business and to have workshops and to do all sorts of things, spend time together. And I went as our delegate, our representative, and I thought I should share at least a little bit about what I learned there. So I'm going to do it kind of by the numbers. So in all of our churches in the Great Lakes Conference, of which that number is always fluctuating because we're always planting churches and we're every once in a while a church sadly closes, but the number is in the mid-80s, 86 I think right now is the official number. But through the ministries of the Great Lakes Conference, that includes camps and churches, I can't remember the number. It was in the 780s, and I didn't want to misrepresent it. But nearly 800 people across the conference became believers in Jesus for the first time. So if we want to give the Lord a hand for that, we can do that. Yeah. It's a cool, during a worship gathering at this meeting, everybody gets a flower, and each flower, I think, represented 5 people. And so there was just flowers everywhere. So we didn't have 800 flowers, but we had math majors. You can divide it by 5. Thank you. It's not that hard, was it? It wasn't 5 then, because there were definitely more than 40. Anyway, however many flowers. It was beautiful. Another number. 4 pastors will be ordained this year in our conference. 3 of them are women pastors, which are... Our denomination is, we affirm women in all levels of ministry, and it was really cool to hear the stories of Barbara and Peg and Debbie and Justin, who are all serving in various places. Cleveland, not Cleveland proper, but Cleveland-ish, Ohio. Dowagiac, Michigan, those of you who know. Chad Bankert has been with us before. He's from that church. Peg Coring is also on staff at that church now. Barbara Bieland lives in Grand Rapids and is serving, actually not in Covenant Ministries, but as a chaplain at Pine Rest, if many of you are familiar with Pine Rest, Christian Mental Health Services. And then Justin serves in Manistee, is what it is. That's the name of the town. No, not Manistee. What is it? Whitehall. Yes, Whitehall, Michigan. Sorry. I should have written this all down, but I thought I knew it. Whitehall. So near Muskegon, but fantastic, great. I should have, if I had time, I would have put all the pictures in the slideshow, and it would have been much more compelling. We adopted 3 new church plants in our conference, and in the Great Lakes Conference, our 3 new church plants, mind you, we're called the Great Lakes Conference, our 3 new church plants are in Nashville, Tennessee. Yes, Joey Maldonado and his wife and 2 beautiful children are planting a church in Nashville. Harvey Cozart, who has a larger shoe size than me but isn't quite as tall as me, is in Richmond, Kentucky, planting a church. And Bobby Benavides is planting a church in the thriving metropolis in the Great Lakes region of Elkins, West Virginia. Yes. See, because our conference keeps planting churches, we keep expanding and getting farther and farther away from the Great Lakes Conference, from the Great Lakes themselves. It has nothing to do with, it's just the movement of God. And it's just beautiful to see that. 2 basketball games that I participated in and lost. My teammate was our church planting director, Alan Tumpkin, and we played against 2 prospective church planters from Auburn Hills, Michigan, who are hoping to plant a church within this coming year, Don Earl Johnson and Cameron Underdown, who actually did youth ministry, and Chris Kozak was one of his students many years ago. So she's not Chris, but her, yeah, I pointed to her because she's married to Chris. Yes, but Alan... Indeed, a very formal relationship. But Alan and I lost both games. There were cheating accusations flying everywhere, but it was still fantastic. 3 more plants on the way, as I mentioned. Covenant Church in Auburn Hills, which is well underway. A church in Morgantown, West Virginia. So this will be our 3rd New Community Covenant Church in West Virginia. This one pastored by two women, Carla and Trish, who I got to meet this week. Morgantown is actually where the university, West Virginia, is. A little bit bigger than Elkins, but still, God is on the move there. And then the third one is the one that I should have written down. Phil is a church planter in Southfield, where we already have a covenant church, but is interested in planting in the covenant as well. I also want to share about four more women in the pulpit. Shelley Kurth was here a couple Sundays ago. How many people were here for that? I was not, but so I don't know. I wasn't taking attendance. Dear friend of mine, Devin Chambers Johnson, started this kind of movement in the covenant where each church, particularly those that don't have female pastors, would have four more women this year preaching in their churches because many people just have no idea that women are pastors in our church because, well, hey, look, I'm not a woman. And I'm the pastor here, so if you don't see a woman up front preaching, you're not going to know. So it's just a very simple way for churches to embrace and lift up our sisters who are doing great ministry. And I've never been disqualified from a ministry position because I'm a man, ever. I've never been not asked to preach anywhere, but women get that all the time. There's reasons, there's biblical, theological reasons that people have and hang-ups. But man, once you do the work and see what Scripture says and then also see these women. I listened to Shelley's sermon from here and I was like, how could you not affirm her gifting as a pastor? It's beautiful. So I had the privilege of being able to make an announcement about this ministry to our sisters and brothers at the meeting, and it was really a holy moment. And that is it for my recap. but God's doing amazing things, not just here at Bretton Woods, but throughout the Great Lakes Conference of Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Western New York, Western Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee, all in the Great Lakes. But we're the only one who is the Great Lakes state, so we'll just hold on to that. Although it's only the Lower Peninsula. The Upper Peninsula is in the Central Conference, so figure that one out. So B is for begin with prayer, but today B is for backtrack because there was the Gates family, and then there was nine other people here last Sunday in the ice and snow, and I appreciate all of your faithfulness for being here, but I totally respect everybody who did not venture out because, by all accounts, it was nasty. So B is for backtrack. Begin with prayer. That's what we do. We begin with prayer. Bless is a handy acronym. Prayer is the more important word here than begin, but PLESS is not a word, and it's not a very convenient acronym. So, and I don't know how to rearrange a word with P. So we begin with prayer, but that makes it sound like we start there and then we're done. As we were talking about in class this morning, we begin with prayer, but we pray. Because this whole thing requires prayer. Because we're talking about blessing people. Blessing people so much that they feel loved. And not just by us, but that they feel loved by Jesus. Right? That is the intent of this whole Bless series. So we begin with prayer, we listen with care, we eat together, we serve in love. Today we're going to talk about listening with care. This is about representing Jesus so well in his love and his mercy and compassion in the world that more people will know Jesus, so that number will be above 800 this year. And again, we have no control over the results. We have no control over how people receive our love, how people respond to Jesus and his message, but we submit ourselves to God. We offer the good news. We embody the good news, and we pray for it to take root. So if you have, most of the bulletins have the two handouts. Did you get two handouts, or did you only get one? Okay. If anybody was here last week and got two handouts, it's like if you were here last week and you got the first handout, I would ask you to offer it to somebody who maybe didn't get it. Did you get one that says, that looks like this on the front? Raise your hand if you did not get this one. Anybody not get this one? I had most of them, but okay. All right. This handout, it has room for us to write in, because this Blessed series is not just a teaching series, it is a living series. Oh, somebody's missing it? You need one? Are we good? Okay, all right. Just shout it out if you need one. We'll make sure to get one to you. It's not just a teaching series, it is a series for us to be living something out very specifically. And so, listening with care begins with listening to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to say. So I want to give you guys 2 minutes. If you were here last week, pray for the people you wrote down last week. Pray for those people that you put on your list and said, I will pray for these people. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to do just that very thing. But if you did not, I want you to write some names down. Write names down of people in your life who, I mean, you may not know whether they know or love Jesus or not, and that may be beside the point. The point is you want them to experience Jesus in a new way, or they just need hope, they just need something of God to take hold and take root in their lives. So you write each name twice, one on each panel. There's a my copy and there's a church copy. So one of them is to keep. You write your copy. The one that says my copy, actually, is the one that you keep. Handy how it says that. But after 2 minutes, I'm going to place a plate up here. And you're invited to come forward anytime within the next couple minutes and put those names here as an offering, as a prayer offering. Say, I'm praying for these people. I want the church to be praying for these people, that they might experience the blessing, the knowledge, and the goodness of Jesus. So, 2 minutes. I shared with the Bible discussion class this morning that there's people whose names that I've been writing on these slips for 15 plus years. I'm not all that old, so that's a good percentage of my life. And I continue to pray for them, and I'm not sure if their lives are being changed or being transformed. Sometimes I don't see it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I think I see it, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, we pray, right? We place all these things in God's hands. These are people that we care about, that we want to experience the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ, the life and the freedom that he provides. So, let us pray faithfully. And as we pray faithfully, we listen. So that's the thing that we're here to talk about today. And I'm not going to talk about it for very long because we already have backtracked for a while. We've spent some time here. But listening itself can be very tied to and related to prayer, can it not? Because prayer is a conversation with God. It is, yes, speaking. For some of us, that's like we just never stop. But it's also listening, encountering, being present with the Holy Spirit, and hearing his voice. The story that Marlene read for us this morning about Philip and this Ethiopian man It's a powerful story. It's a powerful story about the Holy Spirit speaking and moving, and of somebody having that light bulb moment where Jesus makes sense to them and his love transforms their lives and says, oh, there's water here. I must be baptized, right? I mean, how many of us would be pretty excited if somebody who we've been praying for just came up to us and was like, hey, there's water here. Can I be baptized right now? That'd be pretty exciting, right? Even if you were like, well, I don't know. Am I qualified? Can I do that? I don't know. I'm not ordained, whatever. You just call me if you need to, but I think Philip in this story was uniquely formed to listen to this man, to this Ethiopian eunuch. Philip himself was a Greek Jew in a faith of mostly Hebrew Jews. Right? They're all Jews, but there was some division and some struggle in the early church between the people who have been in the club the whole time and the interlopers. And we're talking not necessarily just about Christian converts to the faith of Jesus. This is Jewish people, some of Hebrew descent and some of Greek or Gentile descent, and yet here they are, Hebrews. There was a big controversy in the church about caring for widows. In the early church, there was this very public scandal very early on where the Hebrew widows were receiving care from the church, but the Greek widows were not. This was, I don't know if it's proper to call it racism specifically, certainly prejudice and discrimination very early in the church and probably very unconscious, not intentional. They wouldn't have said that they hated the Greek Jews, the Greek widows. They just didn't offer their care to them. They weren't included in the offerings for the widows. And so Philip was one of seven people who were put on a leadership team to ensure just practice in what I'll call multicultural widow care. And this happens in the beginning of Acts chapter 6. This team is formed to make sure that it's not just the Hebrew widows, but also the Greek widows who receive care from the church. So Philip has this as part of his story, part of his past. It's part of who he is. Maybe fundamentally a little bit of an outsider compared to his friends who were born and raised Hebrew, who aren't coming into this thing late. And who does he encounter in this story? Who does Philip encounter but a rich Ethiopian eunuch with a Bible? Now, Philip is Greek. What, real simple, what continent is Greece in? What's that? Europe, thank you very much. Okay, this is just basic geography. What continent is Ethiopia on? Africa, okay, good. So, are Ethiopia and Greece the same country? Oh, okay, good, good, good. So I told you it'd be easy. They're not the same country. They're not even on the same continent. Philip is a disciple of Jesus who has left everything to come and follow him. Is Philip a rich man in terms of worldly possessions? May not even have a place to lay his head. Maybe a homeless vagabond. Okay. And then, so this Ethiopian man is rich, and he's also Ethiopian, and they're not in Ethiopia, they're not in Africa at this moment, and he's a eunuch, which a lot of scholarship about what it means to say a eunuch in Scripture, it at least means that he couldn't have kids, right? It could mean a lot of other things. There was castration, but at least means that, and for a man in this culture, the ability to sire children was where so much of your manhood came from, right? So to be a eunuch in this culture often, and in most places, was not considered. It put you on the outside, looking in. You weren't comfortable at the men's retreat. Oh, I'm a eunuch. This rich Ethiopian eunuch probably was not very comfortable. Sure, he had a job. I mean, he's worked for the queen. He was, you know. But where he was right now, he didn't feel at home. Philip knows how that feels, right? He knows how it feels to not feel at home. And he hears the Spirit. So Philip listens with care. And it starts with listening to the Spirit. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, verse 26, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Just very specific instructions from an angel of the Lord to go to a specific place. I have not received this very often, at least not an audible voice. The Holy Spirit has guided me to go to specific places, but I don't know if I would ever begin a sentence, an angel of the Lord said to me, right? Maybe you have, and if you've had those experiences, that's fantastic and beautiful. But often the Holy Spirit's nudges are a little bit more subtle in our lives. Doesn't mean they always are. But he listens to the Spirit. And then in verse 29, after we describe this Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. What interesting instructions. Go to that chariot and stay near it. That's it. It's not say these specific words. It's just go over to that chariot and just stay close by. And then the third thing that we directly hear that the Spirit has done is that the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away at the end of the story. When they came up out of the waters of baptism, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, that can be read as like he disappeared, vanished, right? The Spirit of the Lord took him away. Or the Spirit of the Lord took him away like he baptized him and then left and went on his way, and he never saw him again. This wasn't like, oh, hey, we're best friends now. It was just like he baptized him, he shared Jesus with him, and then moved on and never saw him again. Either way, I mean, if you're inclined to interpret it miraculously, please do. If you're not, if thinking about somebody being whisked away by the Holy Spirit weirds you out, that's fine. I don't think there's much in this story that makes you believe that, makes you have to believe that. What I'm saying is that this moment, which was so intimate and relational and transformative for probably both of their lives, was only a short time. And sometimes we have those things. We have encounters with people that are like life transforming that I never saw that person again. When I was on visiting the college I eventually ended up attending in the Chicago suburbs, we went on a, you know, one of those college tours with other families, other people who were checking out the school, prospective students. And it just so happened that one of the fellow prospective students that was visiting that day was also from Rockford, my hometown, which is about an hour from Chicago. And so I was there with this student. He ended up not going to that school. I think he went to Wheaton. But our dads looked at each other like, whoa. It turned out that when my dad was 19, this man had shared Jesus with him in a gym after working out, lifting heavy weights. My dad used to be really, really ripped. He has one bodybuilding trophy in my parents' basement that I was always like, Dad, really? And he received Jesus. He still has the little, you know, handheld Bible with his name signature on the inside. I received Jesus on this date in 1970 or whatever it was. He hadn't seen that guy in a really long time. Really long time. It was amazing to just be witness to that reunion. Like, oh, wow. I didn't even really know that part of my dad's story. I knew he became a Christian a little later in life, but I didn't know it was in a gym. I didn't know who it was. And here I was. I had a face to the story. But anyway, so sometimes it's just a very quick relationship, but sometimes it's not. So Philip listens to the Spirit. He also listens to the man. Because all the Spirit told him to do was to stay near the carriage, the chariot. Stay near it. It's a chariot. I mean, the queen is there. It's not just a carriage. Sorry for misspeaking. Go there and stay near it. To stay near it means that you're just there, available, listening, witnessing what's going on. Don't go in with an agenda. Just stay near it. And sometimes for us, that's all we need to do with our friends, with our loved ones, is just stay nearby. Be there. Be present. This is how faith takes hold. He stays near it. Philip ran up to the chariot, and he asked the man, he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Like, oh, this is convenient. He's reading the Bible. Do you understand what you are reading? That's quite a question. And if most of us are honest when we read the Bible and somebody asks us, do you understand what you're reading? The answer would probably be, maybe. I thought I did at one point, and now I keep reading it, and now I'm like, maybe. Maybe, yes, I do understand what I'm reading. This man says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Oh, I don't understand it. Well, verse 34, after he reads the passage from Isaiah, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? He listens to his question. He doesn't hear him read the passage and be like, oh, you know what my favorite part of that passage is? No, he just says, right? The guy asks a specific question. Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? He listens. And he begins with that very passage of Scripture and tells him the good news about Jesus. They travel on the road. They come to some water. Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Like, again, how exciting. What? Here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And Philip does not stand in his way. He listens. He does not stand in the way. So two questions for us. They're the same questions that I think Philip addresses in this passage. Are we formed to listen? Have we been formed in the type of way that we would listen? And how do we need to be formed to listen? Because some of us we're just not very good at listening. I'm always out there spouting off my stuff. I don't listen to people unless I absolutely have to. Unless I'm being paid to. Listening can be really hard. Are we formed to listen? And part of being formed to listen is seeking truth ourselves. So when somebody asks questions, we're not like, oh, well, I never thought of that. You just believe. Just have faith. Why don't you get it? Because if somebody really has questions, and our attitude is, you shouldn't have questions, well, they might have a hard time relating to me or relating to a God who doesn't do questions. And if I read the Bible correctly, I think God does do questions, and a lot of them. And I have a few for him as well. And yes, I'm a pastor. Are we formed to listen? Are we competent in cultural intelligence? Again, I pointed out Philip's background and this Ethiopian eunuch's background because there was a connecting point. They could both relate to being outsiders. They could both relate on some level. Do we understand that when we talk to people, sometimes they don't have the same background as us? Do we understand that even within these United States of America, there are a multiplicity of cultures? Even within mid-Michigan, there is a multiplicity of cultures, and it's not all ethnic cultures either, right? family cultures are different, right? You visit somebody's house every once in a while and you're like, whoa, this is a little different than the way I grew up. It's loud here, very loud. These people talk very loud. And the TV is also very loud. Or like, whoa, is this place a museum? I don't think anything's been touched in this place in 100 years, right? I mean, these are cultural things. We feel them when we walk into a room. Do we understand how to relate to different sorts of people and not just assume that everybody's just like us? And are we attentive to the Holy Spirit? If we're listening to the Holy Spirit, then we can really listen to what another person is saying to us and not always changing the subject. Like, I just want to talk about sports today. Yeah. You know, they're constantly trying to bring up, you know, Steph Curry, he's a Christian. Have you thought about that? Right? Like, we can like try to like really, really make these weird connections and weird people out. And maybe, again, if the Spirit calls us to make that very connection, then we do it. But sometimes we're just forcing it. We're not being culturally attentive. We're not seeking the truth. But when we are, that's when God can move. And then, will we listen with care? Will we meet people in their questions? Will we meet people in their questions, take their questions seriously, take their concerns seriously? Asking somebody to lay down their lives to follow Jesus is no small ask, right? Like, yes, I think we agree in this room that it's worth every bit of it, but Jesus wasn't messing around when he says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Like, that could turn your entire life upside down, especially if you've built up a nice life for yourself. Just talk to that rich young ruler that Jesus had that wonderful conversation with in Scripture. So meet people in their questions, because their questions may be serious. And you may not have an answer. You may not have a great answer. You may not have what you feel like is a good answer. But if you hear it, maybe that says something about the God you love. Right? He will hear my question too. And he won't reject me because, well, I'm not sure if he exists or not. Or I'm not sure if he's loving. I'm not sure if he loves me specifically. Listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to one another. Listen with care. Again, this is just the first two letters. We got a journey to go on here. But let's pray this week for our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, our loved ones, our coworkers. And let's listen. And let's pray. God, I thank you. Thank you for the way that you have already formed us to listen. May we never think that we're disqualified from sharing your good news. No, you've given each of us enough. You've given each of us a story. You've given each of us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your wisdom today. Fill us with your discernment to know where to lean in, where to pull back, where to ask deeper questions, and where to leave it alone. May we not be motivated by fear, but may we be motivated by you, by your love, by your mercy, by your glory. We thank you, mighty God. And we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's